Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Michaela Morris. Welcome, Michaela.
Thank you, and I'm so happy to be on the show with you.
That won't last. Right, let's get into it. The first question, how did you get into wine?
You want the short answer or the long answer? I was studying linguistics at university, and I did an exchange program in France, and I had to write a paper on anything to do with French culture or civilization, and I chose the wine region of Burgundy to write on.
Why, though? Was that a random choice?
I was sort of into it. You know, I liked wine and was working in restaurants, so I had started tasting wine and enjoyed it, but I really didn't know that much. And I guess I knew the slightest thing about Burgundy, that it was quite a difficult or complex region to get your head around. And there was this word terroir that I'd never heard before, and I wanted to discover what that was. So that was what my thesis was on the terroir et tradition of Burgundy.
Brilliant. So how old were you at that stage? I don't want to get too personal. No, but I mean, like, were you 18? Were you 25? Were you 66?
That was in 1988. So now I'm going to reveal my age. So that was...
Young and
Yeah. I'd already had done some traveling. So I was in my early 20s. And the first day that I got there, I met a man who had a website for the wine region of Burgundy. And he asked me to translate for him on the spot for this website. And this is 98. So at the time in France, the internet was not a big thing, but he was pretty forward thinking. So I ended up translating for him on the spot that day, the first day I get to Burgundy.
What, written translation or voice translation?
Yeah, written translation. And I ended up translating for him for 3 years for his website. And
so that was an incredible stroke of luck.
Yeah, and he was also married to the daughter, I think it was a Rosignol Trappé in Gevrey-Chambertin. It happened to be the Grand Jour de Bourgogne. So he got me into all of these tastings. And I was at Clos Vougeot at a tasting. And at some point, I was freaking out about a wine. It was incredible. And he asked me what I was going to do with my linguistics degree, which is what I was studying. And I said, I don't know. I'm studying it because I'm enjoying it. And he said, well, why don't you think about a career in wine? And I didn't even realize that there were careers in wine. And it was a light bulb. It honestly was the light bulb went off for me, and I've never looked back.
So how did you get into Italian wine?
I hated Italian wine.
Yeah, well, that's the end of the show. Nice to have you, Michaela.
I didn't get Italian wine. So my background was French wine, and it's like your mom's cooking. That was where I fell in love with wine and what I understood and what I knew. And I was doing a lot of work with with French wine. So getting into Italian wine, I didn't really understand it. I didn't really know much about it. And I was studying my WSET, can't remember what level now, probably level 3. And I remember having a Barolo, and I'd heard all about Nebbiolo and how amazing these wines were. And I tried the wine and I just didn't get it. It was like I'd hit a brick wall. But I knew that there was something there that I wasn't getting. So I was curious, and I kept tasting Italian wine. And eventually I got hired by an importing company that specialized in Italian wine. And the reason they hired me was to source French wine for them, because I had been doing that at a private wine store.
So it's an importer in Canada you're talking about.
Yeah. And so they had a great Italian portfolio, and I just started learning about Italian wine. And then finally, started working for them in 2004, and in March of 2004, and then in October of that year, I went to Piemonte. And
first time.
Yeah. I remember opening my door when we got to, it was in Castiglione Falletto, and I opened the door from the car, and it was foggy and you couldn't see anything. It was everything that I had imagined Piemonte to be. It was harvest, so I could smell the fermenting grapes. I swore that I could smell truffles as well as the Ferrero Rocher factory. And the aromas were so amazing. And then tasting wines after that in the region and sort of smelling the region in the wines, and it all of a sudden it made sense to me, and I fell in love with Italian wine and have not looked back from that either.
So what are you doing now in Italian wine, or with Italian wine?
I'm doing a lot of education. I've been teaching for a long time.
So who are your students then?
Who are my students? So I've taught the Wine and Spirit Education Trust for a long time now. Most of the classes that I teach are the diploma level. Sometimes I sub for levels 2 and 3, where we have perhaps less people working in the wine industry. But generally, the people that I'm teaching do work in the wine industry. And recently I launched in Vancouver Vancouver, the Maestro program for Vignelli International Academy. This was, again, mostly to professionals, so to sommeliers, people working in wine stores, and the enthusiasm for Italian wine is incredible.
What is a typical question when people get stuck with Italian wine? Do they get confused with the denominations, the DOCGs, or is it the grape varieties or the terroir, or what do they get most stuck on? And how do you unpick the stickiness?
Wow, how long do we have?
15 seconds.
I think there's always confusion around, you know, is this a grape? Is this a region? Where is it? How do I pronounce this? I don't even want to say this word because I can't pronounce it. And I'm, you know, talking from the perspective of the students. But in general, I think the question is, tell me about this. Tell me about where it's made, why they make it like this. Why does it smell and taste like this? What do they eat with it? I think in general, and I'm talking about the Canadian sommelier or the Canadian professional, there's a pretty high level of education there, and there's a lot of curiosity. And especially, I would say, in Vancouver, it's a very dynamic market and a very young market for wine professionals overall. There's just this insatiable curiosity, and people just want to learn. And one question feeds into another.
Okay.
And I think the most important thing is that they're tasting the wines along with whatever the discussion is, because sometimes the flavors and the structure of the wine is something that they're not used to. But they're very open-minded and want to understand it.
Okay. When you talk about the sort of structure, you're saying that Italian wine can be quite difficult sometimes, like Brunello and Barolo, these quite sort of tannic wines.
I'm not saying that.
Is that the degree of difficulty? Is that what they feel? They want softer wines in that market?
No, I don't think that they want softer wines, and especially, I would say, the professionals. Yeah, no, I don't think that they want softer wines. I think maybe we were used to a lot more Californian wines. That's the biggest selling imported wine in British Columbia is Californian wine, but Italy is second. I think that some people think the North American palate is very sweet, and I do think there's a lot of people who, you know, I would say maybe the average consumer who likes wines that are a little bit softer. But again, I'm teaching to professionals and people who are working in restaurants, and they see how these wines go with food. So I don't think that it's difficult for them to get their head around the structure, the tannin, and the acidity. And the other thing too is that I always have food in those classes, and I think that really, really helps.
Well, I mean, you actually bring food.
Mm-hmm.
What stuff you've baked yourself at home? This sounds so folksy. It's great.
Well, I used to avoid studying, I used to bake.
I don't believe it. Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of time to do that anymore.
Apple pie?
Sure. Apple pie, cakes, muffins,
soup. Let's not get into muffins.
Okay. But no, the place that I teach from is actually attached to a cheese store. And so they have cheese and charcuterie, and they make some of their own things as well. So I try to find something that comes from the same region as the region I'm teaching about.
Okay. Yeah. Did you cycle around Italy when you were younger?
I did, yes.
That's a little detail that you haven't so far shared with us.
The first time I came to Europe, I came with my bicycle, and I ended up cycling around Europe for 3 years. And I spent a few months in Italy on my bicycle, not really realizing how hilly it was. And in fact, I had been in Corsica, and I had been in Italy, and then I'd gone to Corsica, and I came back to Italy, and I met this couple from the States who were also cycling around the world on their bike, and I say that with
inverted commas.
Thank you. And I said, well, we'll cycle through the hills, the hill towns of Tuscany and Umbria. And they're like, that sounds great. And then we were cycling through the hills of Tuscany and Umbria, and they wanted to kill me. And they actually ended up leaving me because they were looking for a slightly easier cycling territory. But yeah, anyway, I loved it. And I think it was a great way to discover the country for the first time coming here.
Did you speak any Italian then or not?
No, I spoke French. What I've always said about the Italians is they want to be understood and they want to communicate. And they're also very generous and very patient. So I didn't ever have a problem communicating, even if I didn't speak Italian.
What do you see as the next trends in Italian wine in your particular market in Canada, British Columbia?
Oh, well, I think, and again, I'm talking sort of about professionals and engaged consumers. There is a trend towards lighter reds, and I think that Italy offers some really amazing, interesting, cool reds that are a little bit lighter, like Pella Verga or Frappato or whatever that may be. And I think that because there is a push as well from the sommeliers, a lot of the importers are starting to bring in small amounts of these wines. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be mainstream, but it's a growing trend within the professional wine community for
Where can Italy or Italian producers or Italian trade bodies or consorti, the group of producers, so the Chianti Classico Consortio, how can they up their game abroad to make their wines more understandable or more easy to buy or easy to get? It's not meant to be a political question, because it is. I know it is very, but I'm not trying to catch you out. But what simple things could they be doing to make your life easier or the lives easier of people like you who are engaged in education?
I think working together, and a great example of this would be Verdicchio, for example. I don't understand why we don't have 10 Verdicchio listed in our market. And when I say listed at the government wine stores, I think it's a great grape variety. Well, first of all, I think it's a great grape variety from Italy in terms of its complexity, ageability, the range of styles that you can get. But I also think it goes so well with our cuisine and our lifestyle. The problem is people don't know it. And the best way for people to get interested in it and to start to understand it anyway would be if the producers worked together and came together en masse, or if there were 10 producers or 15 producers and came and did classes for the sommeliers, because that's where these wines start, right? In the restaurants, the sommelier is pouring them for the consumers. So I think working together and trying to promote a region or a grape variety together is huge.
But I mean, the power of the Somme is still sort of all-encompassing in the North American market. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's very important for sure.
For sort of wines that are not sort of everyday supermarket wines, should we say?
Absolutely. And because I think, I mean, the market that I'm in British Columbia, every province in Canada is different. In our market, we have government stores and private wine stores. In the government stores, we have product consultants, and some are good at their job, but there's not a lot of them. And then we have the private wine stores that are a little bit more niche and boutique, and that's where very engaged customers go. So when you're looking more for approaching all sorts of wine drinkers, the restaurants really are the place where people are going to learn about wine. And because we have this young, dynamic industry of sommeliers that want to pour great and interesting wines, this is where people are learning about wines, and this is where I think the slightly different than the beyond Pinot Grigio, beyond Prosecco, this is where people are going to taste those wines.
So for you, you're an Italian wine specialist and you live an awful long way from Italy. When are you going to move to Italy, and where are you going to move to? And that is definitely the leading question.
Okay.
And you're not allowed out of the studio until you answer.
Okay.
In full.
So I'll answer the second part first.
That's very clever, because you think I'm going to forget the first part.
So I love Bologna as a city. I don't know it as well as some of the other cities in Italy, but I was charmed by it. And it's very central. So from a practical standpoint, just getting around by train or plane, it's accessible and not quite as far out as somewhere like Turin or something like this.
And it's pretty flat if you've still got that bicycle.
I like hills. And I love Lambrusco. So... you know, if I'm in Emilia Romagna and the food there is so amazing, I could say that for anywhere in Italy. But so I sometimes think about buying a little place there, because I do come to Italy frequently. I'm here at least 3 months out of the year, if not more. And I'm happy to be here even more than that. I still like to have one foot in Canada. I love my market. When I say my market, you know where I'm from, but I also love the industry in Canada. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be there to help with Italian wine education. It's really important for me. I would go back and forth between the two countries, so I'm not gonna give up my Canadian citizenship or my Canadian passport anytime soon. But sometimes I think about buying a place here for sure.
Well, if you do come and you do move here, I'm sure you'll be made very welcome by the Italians. You do a great job promoting and communicating about it. I've got a huge respect for what you do.
Thank you so much,
Monty. Really, you put an enormous amount of effort into what you do, and you're a brilliant communicator and educator. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Morris.
Thank you.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.